Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of December 16th through December 22nd, our last week of Sagittarian season. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I got my first tarot deck at age 11 and have continued to learn more and more about tarot, which eventually turned into designing and illustrating my own deck of Badass Bitches. I hope you guys are all having a fab holiday season and again, enjoying the Sagittarius vibes. It's a great time because we're getting ready for the upcoming winter solstice on this Friday, December 21st, and the full moon in Cancer on December 22nd. Through the rest of December, we're continuing to move through our cards, the Seven of Cups, which is bringing in multiple opportunities, but reminding us to move forward decisively and with intuition before those opportunities might fade. And we also have Page of Wands, aka Ivy Levin, working on our side to inspire action, creativity, and change. To hear more detailed info about the cards for December, you can go back to episode 20 of this podcast. Now for the card of the week. Again, our last week of Sagittarian season and the week before the holidays. So let's see what we've got. Okay, Eight of Swords. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this is a card showing a beautiful woman bound and blindfolded, standing in the middle of eight swords, almost looking trapped. Like if she were to move forward without being able to see or feel her way with her arm, she would most likely get sliced horror movie style. The thing is, if this trick removed her blindfold, she would quickly realize that she can escape her predicament by letting go of her own limiting beliefs and embracing a new, more empowered mindset. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is Kathy Griffin. I love Kathy, and the reason I chose her for this card is after her show Life on the D-List, everyone refers to Kathy as a D-List celebrity. When in actuality, she's pretty up there. I mean, she's won two Emmys, is in the Guinness Book of World Records, she's besties with Anderson Cooper. It's not like she's a sad D-List reality star by any means. But due to her self-titled TV series, this D-List thing kind of stuck. That's Eight of Swords energy. We self-limit and stick labels to ourselves that may not be true. Or if they were once true, we may have outgrown them and they no longer are in our alignment. The message in Eight of Swords is to be careful of the restrictions you impose on yourself. And if you have created self-induced limits, the great thing is you're the one who can also free yourself. So if you're feeling old luck mentalities or limiting beliefs drag you down this week, remember, you can rip off that blindfold and rebrand yourself at any point you choose. Once you do that, you can sashay freely through the maze of swords like the badass bitch you are. The energy in Eight of Swords coincides with the upcoming winter solstice on Friday the 21st, and as we prepare to go into kind of this seasonal rest reset known as winter. It's also serving us in the full moon in Cancer on Saturday the 22nd, which really asks us to look at this past year and take stock of our lives and how we're going to treat ourselves and others moving forward. It's a time to figure out what's working, what we've created and achieved that we're grateful for, and also what we want to untie ourselves from, Eight of Swords style, as we move forward into the new year. On that note, I'm so excited to introduce this week's guest, an incredibly talented astrologist and makeup artist to the stars, Danielle Catherine. Hey, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy that I found you. It was funny. I work with Ming Lee Simmons really closely, and I follow her Instagram, and I loved the work that you did on a shoot with her, and then I just started following you and saw that you're also an astrologist. So it was so interesting to me that you've kind of combined those two worlds, and I think it would probably, if anything, give you such an advantage, but I feel like that's rare to see, like, makeup artist astrologist. So I was instantly drawn to you. How did you first begin learning astrology? Did that become, was that before you were in the makeup world, or was it after, or was it kind of at the same time?
Well, I guess you could say it kind of runs in my family. I knew my rising sign when I was like 4 years old. my grandmother and my mother and her sister were all very into it. And growing up, you know, I was constantly hearing astrology talk and, I guess you could say I grew up in a very spiritual household. My mom is a practicing astrologer as well. So she started doing it when I was, I believe, in high school. And by the time I turned 21, I was studying it myself. And as I was studying it by myself and you know, basically self-taught, I started taking lessons from a pretty well-known astrologer named Diane Kramer in New York City.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, and I follow her work. Yeah,
yeah, look her up. She's pretty awesome. She's written a few books, and she specializes in health astrology, medical astrology, and she's just a fabulous woman, and she gave me a few lessons. We became friends, and yeah, she actually does tarot as well. You should look her up. And she taught me a few tarot things here and there, but we mostly, sorry, that's my little dog.
Oh, that's okay. I have a Pomeranian that also sometimes comments, so no worries. I actually have heard of her because I, even though, you know, I'm very tarot focused, I obviously have a huge interest in astrology. So I've followed some of her work online, but I've never actually like gone to any of her seminars in person, although I do see that she does some things in New York. So I'll definitely have to look more into that.
Oh yeah. You should definitely look her up. And yeah, if you ever want any lessons, she's a great person to go to.
That's awesome. So it was kind of,
yeah,
it was kind of in the family for you, and then you got deeper into it. Mm-hmm. Was that kind of your focus of what you were like striving to do full time, or were you pursuing that at the same time as makeup? And like, how, I guess my like fascination with that is, how do the two intertwine? Because I would assume that that's got to be an advantage for you. Like, I would definitely, like, I come from the fashion world as well, and if I was hiring a makeup artist that also kind of had that astrological insight with clients on set, I think that must be a really unique advantage that you have.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was in college, I was a psych major, and astrology and psychology go hand in hand. Hence, you know, very famous psychologists who were also astrologers. But yeah, I mean, it just goes hand in hand. And what's funny is that when you're someone's makeup artist, you're also their therapist. So I guess all three kind of fall in this, you know, not fall in the same category, but in a way it kind of does.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when someone's in my chair, you know, I'm naturally there, you know, the makeup artist and the hairdresser is always like, you know, the therapist. But it's funny because when I have someone in my chair and we're talking, you know, so many people will be like, oh, you know, you have so many characteristics of a therapist. You're so easy to talk to. It's so funny. And then, you know, I tell them that, you know, I was a psych major, and I'm also an astrologer. But yeah, it does fall into my advantage, because doing makeup, really, you have to connect with the person. It's not always about how good of a makeup artist you are. You know, you have to be likable, you have to be understanding and patient, and being, you know, an astrologer, it's like you automatically, you know, when someone tells me their sign or their birthday, you know, it's almost like my wheels are turning and the calculations are in my head, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, she's probably more, you know, this makes her anxious, or you know what I mean? So
oh,
you're
definitely.
Ready to come fall to my advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I have, because a big part of tarot, or at least the way that I practice it, is numerology. And similarly, when I find out someone's, like, birth date and, like, how their numerology falls, whether, like, from their date of birth or in the year that we're in, the same thing. So I could definitely see how that applies. And I would think that, like I said, like, even in, obviously, the clients one-on-one that you work with, like, in terms of models and celebrities, but I would even think, like, just in terms of booking you, I would feel so good about having you on a set, knowing that you kind of have that capacity. So that's just such a cool, I don't know, like I said, as soon as I found you through Ming, because I really liked the work that you did on that shoot, just, you know, aesthetically, the makeup, and then when I saw that you also were an astrologist, I was like, that is, like, an amazing kind of combination. And one of No, that's so cool. One of the things, one of like the segments that's on the podcast is people write in and they kind of tell they're coming out of the spiritual closet stories, because I've found, and a lot of my friends have found, that like nowadays it's like I'm a lesbian, I'm super out, and I find it like less challenging to like, you know, talk about that aspect of my life than talk about things like, you know, coming from fashion, that I am a tarot reader, that, you know, I've done plant medicine and all of those things. It's kind of like new ground for a lot of people. Do you find that you have those moments of kind of coming out of the spiritual closet as an astrologist with clients, or does that kind of just flow naturally with the people that you tend to work with?
It's funny that you mentioned that, because the other day on set, I was talking to someone else who's also pretty spiritual, and you kind of sometimes have to be careful, like, when you talk about certain subjects when it comes to spirituality, because religion kind of falls into it.
Right.
So you do have to take people's temperature, test, you know, the waters a little bit before you bring something like that up. So, you know, some people get offended with astrology. Is that what you meant?
Just in terms of, you know, how do you deal with addressing that? No, I understand, and I think it's definitely a kind of a setting and feeling comfortable in order to share that information. And I always find it really interesting in hearing people's stories in terms of the listeners and clients when they have their own kind of coming out of the spiritual closet moments, because sometimes it's like people will surprise you on the flip side too. Of I've had listeners write in and say that they were kind of nervous in a corporate setting to share that they like practice Reiki on the weekends or whatever, and then it was really well received. So I just always kind of find that process fascinating. So it's good. It's good to hear that for the most part, like, you have clients that are so receptive to that, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, totally. And you know, I'm here in LA, and it's, you know, a lot of people, most people I would say, are pretty open to that.
One of the other things I kind of wanted to ask you, because I definitely have an interest in astrology, but I'm not at all an expert. So to somebody that is kind of newly learning, or for me, I learn kind of because all of the cards have an astrological ruling, so I know those aspects. But what would you recommend to people that have an interest and are looking to get involved? Because I know it can be really intimidating, and there's a lot of, you know, like scientific aspects to it. And some people, even though they're so intrigued and wanting to learn, they kind of don't know how to start. So what would you recommend?
I would recommend cafeastrology.com, and I would, it's just so thorough, and it's, you know, breaks down natal aspects, which means, you know, your chart that you were born with, and it explains predictive astrology, and there's so many different kinds of charts and different kind of ways that you can use with predictive astrology. I mean, astrology goes so deep, and it's kind of fun that, you know, it's something that you just kind of never stop learning, no matter how many years you practice, because there's just so much. You know, there's medical astrology, there's vocational, electional, and there's even something called solar returns, which is pretty cool. Which I'm kind of, I've always been into solar returns, but a solar return chart, I think, is one of the coolest kind of charts that you could learn even as a beginner, or maybe intermediate. And it's pretty cool that Cafe Astrology offers so much information about that. And a solar return chart is a predictive horoscope that starts on your birthday, and it lasts, and you can read it for 12 months, which I think that's something great that after you get to know, you know, your beginner astrology, you know, how do I say it? It's just something pretty cool when you get into the predictive astrology, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that would, but I'm definitely not that advanced, but just the idea of that you kind of have, a specific 12 months every year of that is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because since you're a tarot reader, you could totally do something. My sister does tarot as well. She throws she makes the chart, she makes a wheel with her cards for each month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a solar return chart with tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool too. But sorry, I feel like I keep getting off subject. Astrologyweekly.com. That is a very cool website that is really great for learning. It's a forum, and there's so many threads, and there's so many beginning astrologers that are on there asking questions, and there's so many professional astrologers answering them. And that is just one of the best learning tools that I've been using since I started when I was 21. And that was, you know, I'm 36 now.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah.
It's been around for a long time. It's very, very valuable information on there.
It's funny. I've checked that site just to look into, like, quick information, but I didn't realize about the interactive forums, which I'm sure is really helpful. So, yeah, I'm going to obviously mm-hmm. post back to your website and your social media, but I'll add your recommendations and the notes to this podcast as well, because I think that those are really helpful for people that are getting started.
Mm-hmm. Another valuable tool is there's a big blue book, and it's like a big textbook, and it's Llewellyn's Astrology from A to Z. I think every astrologer probably owns that book, but that is just such a great starting point for a beginning astrologer.
Yeah, I've actually seen that in a lot of kind of metaphysical stores that I shop in. So it must be mm-hmm. kind of like a staple. That's cool. I've definitely heard of it. So the other thing I was going to ask you is, in terms of in addition to getting started, when you were saying there's a bunch of different, you know, and I've heard this just from conferences I've attended, and it's similar to tarot. Some people focus on the astrological elements of tarot. Some people focus on numerology or Kabbalistic tarot. What is your area of focus, and how did you kind of decide after you began?
I guess you could say I kind of do it all, but I really like looking at people's natal charts and kind of just breaking them down. but I like predictive astrology too, of course. But it's really fascinating how many years of therapy you can save yourself by kind of learning astrology and learning, you know, about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I think I saved myself probably years of therapy, because when you're in therapy, it's like you're trying to figure out what really bothers you and, you know, break it down with your therapist and, you know, why do I do this? Why do I feel like that? You know, why was my childhood like this? Did my mother really treat me bad? You know, it's like you sit there and ask yourself so many questions. And, you know, with astrology, it's kind of just like you're looking at the map of your soul, and it's like you're just seeing things from, you know, A to Z. And there's so many people that you could help if, you know, you learn something like this. I mean, it's such a science. A lot of people think that it's spiritual and, you know, they don't really understand that it's very mathematical, very scientific, very psychological, you know?
Yeah. I have so much respect for that. 'Cause like I said, I have learned probably at like an intro to intermediate level just because of my tarot practice. But every time I go to astrology conferences mm-hmm. and courses, I'm like, oh my goodness, it is. It's so much math and science involved. And I have so much respect for people of your level that are you know, that well-versed and studied in it, because it's definitely, there's so much behind it. I think it's incredibly admirable.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
What kind of courses are you taking?
So there's a council in New York that does just kind of annual, or not even annual, there's different throughout the year. I just took like a weekend conference about the transit of Jupiter, and they had different Yeah, so there was a bunch of people that spoke on different topics. One of the astrologists spoke on the placement of Chiron. Another astrologist, Ann Ortley, mm-hmm. was speaking about kind of Jupiter's 12-year transit. So I just kind of like to learn, like I said, because I know a bit of how it's in the cards with tarot, I like to learn how, you know, as much as possible. But I have so much respect for, like, I'm nowhere, you know, near an astrologist by any means. So I think what you do is so admirable in the amount of knowledge that goes into that.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, if you ever need any guidance, I mean, just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to help you, or at least try to guide you in the right direction.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I was gonna ask. So again, kind of for listeners, for people that are again starting out to some level. I know everyone. I think that's starting obviously knows kind of sun rising and moon are the key things to learn. What would you say are additional? Because there's so much obviously in your chart. When you're breaking it down and you're brand new to it, what would you say are kind of the key elements that you would recommend familiarizing yourself with first?
Besides the sun, moon, and the rising, I would have to say, that question could be answered like that. I think you have to just sit down and look at all the placement of your planets, and you know where your Venus is, what sign it's in, what house it's in, your Mars. I mean, you have to kind of look at all the planets, but most of all, you have to see how they touch each other, the aspects that they make to each other.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if if your moon is in Cancer and it's square Pluto, you know, that's childhood, pretty much I would have to say mommy issues. You know, such an impact that your mother had on you, and the where it would affect you would be the houses that they're in. So that's kind of a way that you can break down, you know, natal aspects. You know, there's a great book, The Art of Predictive Astrology, Carol Rushman. She's such a fabulous astrologer, and she's pretty famous. And The Art of Predictive Astrology literally breaks down on how to predict your life events. And it literally says that on the book, on the cover. And that is such a great way that's such a great book to just kind of get started into predictive astrology after you've kind of mastered your natal chart. And again, Cafe Astrology really helps you as a beginner. Even now, I go on Cafe Astrology all the time just to kind of, you know, if I need to refresh my memory on something or quickly look something up. Such a great way to break down your natal chart.
Yeah, I've used that just for kind of the basics of my chart, but I'll definitely kind of delve deeper into that site after your recommendation. And thank you. Your list of resources is so amazing for myself and for the listeners. So like I said, I'm going to add that in addition to your own websites, because I think that that's something that's really helpful. And it's always, you know, there's so much information out there, but somebody who is as kind of in this world and as skilled and adept as you recommending always is helpful when you're sorting through all of the content out there. So I'm thinking
for
that.
It's so overwhelming.
Yeah. So then, my other, like, kind of the question that I ask everyone, and I know, you know, you're an astrologist, but you're familiar with tarot, obviously. I ask everyone on the podcast, mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite tarot card? And if so, why is it your favorite?
I guess I would have to say, I don't know if this sounds cliche or if everyone says it, but I really love the Lover's card. And I always love the artwork on any deck of mm-hmm. the Lover's card. I don't know. Maybe I like the Lover's card because I have a Libra rising, and, you know, it's like we see everything in pairs and lovers and stuff like that. But I would have to say every tarot deck that I've ever seen, I like the Lover's card. Even the the original tarot deck.
Yeah, Smith Rider Waite. Yeah, it's so funny. I have Libra Moon, and if you do the numerology of tarot, like everyone has a major arcana card in the year that they were born, and I was born under the Lovers. So I also love that card, and it kind of is like my soul and personality card if you follow the numerology of tarot. I would love to do yours, actually, because that might be the case with you, and that might be why you're drawn to it. But I think, yeah, the original card is beautiful, and the deck that I created, Badass Bitches Tarot, because it's all, you know, empowered women, it's Ellen and Portia. And it's like an illustration of them from their wedding. So I also love that card. That's an awesome pick. That's yeah. And you're the first person I've interviewed who said that. So that makes me so happy.
Really?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to fall into cliche category.
No, it's funny.
Of being girly, you know?
No, I love that card too. And like, it's definitely one, I would say like one of my top three. Do you have a card that you hate seeing in a reading? Like when you get it pulled for yourself that you kind of are like, oh, not that one. Or that it, like you have anxiety around for any reason?
Oh, definitely the devil card.
Me too. Oh my God, that's so funny. Me too. Yes.
And there's another one that looks like the Grim Reaper. Which one is that?
It's probably, if in the traditional Smith Rider Waite deck, it's death, the death card. But the death card is a little more optimistic because the meaning of it can actually kind of mean rebirth. Like even if something is ending, it's kind of rebirth. It can be regeneration. That one's a little, but no.
That's the Pluto. Yeah. I always associate that with the planet Pluto.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's ruled by Pluto. Yes. So there's a little bit, I don't know, like I kind of see more of an upside to the death card, but the devil card, I'm with you. Like, and people say like, oh, it's, you know, breaking free of the devil and breaking free of your self-sabotaging behaviors. But like the devil card, it kills me. It's Whitney Houston in the deck that I created because she literally like, you know, was so beautiful, amazing and talented and like just, you know, lost her life to her own demons and devils. It's a dark card. I mean, it's a powerful card, but I am definitely with you on that. Is there a card in the deck that you feel like you would be, like you would be the embodiment of a certain card?
I love the World card, actually. Yes, I feel connected to the World card. There's a World card, right?
Yes. That's, yeah.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, and that's kind of like completion. It's also like not necessarily wanting to live within the like constriction of just like being free and doing it your own way, which, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm an Aquarius, so that makes sense.
Oh, that's, yes, totally. That totally makes sense. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. This was incredible, Danielle, and you've like really given such like a great overview to people that are, you know, like whether they're starting out or delving deeper into astrology. This has been so incredibly inspiring. So like I said, I'm going to link back to your social media and your site.
But yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to reach out and message me about astrology, you know, DM me on Instagram, they totally can. I don't mind.
I would love to work together in some capacity, and I definitely hope that either when I'm in LA or you're in New York that we get to meet in person soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's your tarot practice like? What exactly are you doing with tarot numerology? Are you taking clients or teaching?
Yes, I do individual clients, and I do a lot of events in New York. I'm starting to do some in LA and Toronto as well. So that's kind of...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's kind of like I'm similar to you, like, you know, fashion and tarot, and now I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Yes, I'm kind of like, I'm doing both, transitioning more into the tarot side of things. So, but yeah, I'm sure in one way or another, I would love to collaborate. So it's been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing totally. To speak with you, because I know that I've been like wanting to for a long time, and I love everything that you're doing. So definitely stay in touch. And, you know, like I said, I'm in LA a lot. Next time I'm out there, I'll definitely hit you up. If you're in New York first, let me know. And
I would love that.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Nice talking to you.
How badass is it that Danielle is both a makeup artist and astrologist? Like, I would just love to sit in her makeup chair. That would be my ideal makeup artist to work with. So yeah, learned a lot. I think she also gave a lot of tips and resources to look up if you're starting out in astrology as well. Before we head out this week, we had some pretty great coming out of the spiritual closet submissions. My favorite, however, came from Jen in New York City. Yay! And this is our first New Yorker. Jen writes, "Hey Cards EB, I picked up your deck at the Ace Hotel and absolutely love the cards. My coming out of the spiritual closet story, so to speak, has more to do with the lack of outdoor space in Manhattan. Do you struggle with where to discard or bury ingredients from rituals that are traditionally released outside? I'm like, hi, I live on the 19th floor of my building. Where the hell am I supposed to bury this candle? So I attempted to bury it in Central Park, not sure it was the best route. Any tips that you have are much appreciated. Thanks so much. Oh my gosh, Jen. Yes, I think that is a problem in New York. I guess my best advice is, you know, if you have friends or family in the suburbs, that's probably your best bet. But I hear you. It's a challenge. Overall, they say that if you release the ingredients in a space that's outside of your home, so even if you take it to the trash on like a corner, that's not really, you know, close to your living space, I think that that's probably the best route if you don't have access to outdoor space. But I hear you. I've totally been there. So thank you for sharing. All right, guys, before I leave you, just wanted to do a quick recap as always. December is looking like a great month. We've got a few weeks left. Seven of Cups bringing us a lot of great opportunities, but reminding us to be decisive as possible as they occur. This is combined with the fiery Page of Wands, working with us to inspire action, creativity, and change. And this week brings us Eight of Swords, aka the Kathy Griffin card, reminding us to release any of our self-imposed limitations. For New Yorkers, there are still some great holiday events on the way. I'm going to be reading at the Open Center this Friday, December 21st, for the Winter Solstice event. I've also recently added an Instagram Live segment, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check that out for highlights of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions to get a mini reading live. Also, a big congrats to the winner of the Bexmas Hexmas giveaway, Flamechild1111. If you didn't already receive your big basket of goodies, you should be getting it very soon. To those of you who entered but didn't win this time, don't worry, because we have an awesome New Year's giveaway with Susan Wands from last week's podcast. I got so much amazing feedback about Susan, so many of you saying that you're buying the book, you've read the book, you also love her, and she is incredible. She's my new bestie. We hung out this week, and she was so lovely to give us a few copies of the book and a really super cute magician t-shirt. So I'm going to feature a picture of that gift basket to show you guys what you're about to win. To enter, follow at CardsEB and at Magician and Fool. Like the super cute picture of me and Susan Wands on my Instagram. Tag three friends who you think would also like winning this book and t-shirt giveaway, and repost this post on your Instagram tagging me, CardsEB. The winner is going to be announced live New Year's Eve. Good luck, badass bitches. Thank you for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.